Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, and I'm thinking it's a Testimony Tuesday, like the old days. And joining me in the studio is Marianne Offenstein to co-host this edition of Mark and Friends. Good morning, Marianne.
Hey, Mark.
And our special guest, Rosemary. I pause a little here because I love guests that are reluctant. People that have tuned in for any period of time, probably the last 20 years, know that I don't typically have people that want to be on the radio. It's usually somebody that I have to kind of pull in, I have to coax. I couldn't bribe you, but you were a willing vessel because you thought we were going to primarily talk about ESL, English as a Second Language, as you volunteer with this ministry and have been helping out. But when I surprised you moments ago to say, well, we got to share a little of your testimony, some of the love story, you're like, what? What? I wasn't prepared to talk about that.
Oh.
I don't always tell people that in advance because then they overthink.
They run, Mark.
Yeah, they run or they say, oh, no, I'm busy. Oh, I don't feel
You've
well.
Learned
I'm
that.
Sick. So thank you for being available. And,
well, it's good to be here.
And
welcome.
I do want to celebrate. Both Marianne and I have seen you oversee the intermediates, you and Herb Ketchum for the most part, and how you've taken an active role in reaching these international students. And this radio ministry has seen it as a key vehicle of making inroads, if you will, with internationals and loving on them, teaching them. And there's been occasions where we can share some of our faith journey, or like Herb will say, well, I was praying about that. And somebody might say, well, you were what? And so you've seen ESL through the lenses of somebody that's taught at Milliken and have had a rich background. In fact, you've given us a lot of resources. And so why are you volunteering with this ministry? Why have you helped out with ESL?
God put it in me to do many, many years ago. I think as a kid it started because my parents hosted some international students with the American Field Service, not the long term, but short term. And so I got a feel for some international influence in my small town. And I didn't have a way. There was no such thing as ESL back then.
Mm-hmm.
But even at college, I seemed to be drawn to some of the students that were from faraway places. Maybe it was something I felt like I could give them or welcome them in a way that I would want to be welcomed. And it was many years later that I found out that there was actually a career path. It was a long, long way. And it's really kind of amazing. I was working at Parkland College as a receptionist in the Child Development Center, and one of the instructors there was dropping off her child, and she was an ESL teacher. And it's like, how did you get to be that? Oh, well, she got a master's degree in this. And I thought, oh, I never finished my bachelor's degree. But it's so far, and I've got kids and a family. I've got too much. But I started taking classes, and I eventually was just about to finish a bachelor's degree. And I thought, what am I going to do with this, though? Because it's not, again, still, it was not a huge major that was available, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I decided to take as long as it took, and it took about 3 months, of just specifically putting an hour, setting aside an hour a day, every day, in worship and prayer. And I just went through this kind of formula of prayer. And after a few months of this, it really became strong in me, a sense of, this is the air I breathe, your very presence living in me. And I was like, wow, how do people survive? How do people live in this world? But then the Lord started dropping in vision for me, and that sounds kind of far out, but it was not like I'm seeing spooks or anything like that. It was what I would be doing. You'll be mentoring women, you'll be playing worship music at church, and you'll be teaching English. And I was like, oh, how am I going to do that? I didn't know how I was going to do any of it. And just a few months later, I was involved in a church and they needed music ministry. I was able to get involved. I met an old friend and we started having English classes together. And then I started volunteering at another church in town that had an English program. And then I got hired actually as an instructor out of Parkland because I finally finished the first of degrees and worked there for several years. And then went on and got the master's degree in teaching English as a second language. And so it was a passion turned career later in my life. I want to encourage people that it's not too late.
And when did you sign on with Milliken?
It's probably been 5 years, because I ended that job when my mother was kind of ill, and life was just taking too many turns. I couldn't continue there right then. But I think their program is still going, and I think it's still thriving. And in this intervening time now, I've been able to take care of my father more, and we also went through some things that developed into the Lord giving us or making available for us a place in Texas on the beach that I go and just commune with God.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time meditating. There's something about the crashing waves, and I see them, and I just think, your mercies are new every morning. It's like the waves, you know, they praise the name of Jesus. It's just a wonderful thing for me.
Now, is that in Corpus Christi? Is that area?
It's south of there by 3 hours. We are at the very tip of Texas. If you go all the way down and then you go off the coast, that's where it is.
And I don't know if I formally said Rosemary Painter, but in the studio with us on this Testimony Tuesday is Rosemary Painter. Her and her husband Jim married 40 years. Congratulations.
Yeah, a long time.
Great trek there. You live in Champaign. You're the parents of two sons,
yes.
Grown sons now, married with grandchildren, I believe.
Yes, 4 grandchildren.
Little shout out for them.
Yay, go them. Olivia, Gideon, Joshua, and Caleb.
Oh, fun.
And as I mentioned, you've been assisting with our English conversational classes here. We're taking a little break, and then we're going to start up again in April. And I think you're going to offer some training. We're talking about maybe in June, July, or August, later on when we start another session in the fall. But for somebody that's thinking, gosh, I've never even thought about assisting, or I love internationals, I just have an affinity, or I like to connect with them, what could they learn that could assist them in being a part of the Great News Radio English Conversation classes?
Well, if you speak English, then
we try.
You've already got a leg up on what these students and travelers want. You have something that they want. Now, it's another thing to know kind of how to convey it, but you've got enough to at least get started. There's a book by Lawson Lau, and he is a local person. I think it's called The World at Your Doorstep. And he talks about how if you feel called to the mission field, or you sense that, or people tell you that. Sometimes some churches really push, you know, go to the missions. But you have this reluctance inside. It's like the world can come to you in, at this day and time. And in this city especially, the world does come to you. And you don't have to give up your hot water heater, and you don't have to give up things, your creature comforts that are like, oh, I can't go to some faraway place. There are people here who have never heard the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. There are people here that don't have a clue about any of these things that are part of your everyday life. And by gently loving them and helping them with something that they want, which is better proficiency in English, or maybe even just how to say hello, or how can they find something, that will encourage them to make a friend. And there are so many testimonies of people who have made friends and then become believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember how many years ago we did an evangelism series over the air. Mm-hmm. And I think the statistic was something like, and here we're in a university community, so when you say right here, the greater Champaign-Urbana area with the University of Illinois, but for that matter, with our signal going towards Lafayette, there's Purdue, there's Indiana State, there's Parkland College, other campus towns. But they were saying something like only 2 to 5% of these international students ever get invited into an American's home. Now, most of these internationals are the cream of the crop. They're the top 1% of 1% that make it, have financial means to come to our country.
That's true.
And they study. They study night and day, and they're kind of driven, or their parents say, you know, we're investing all of our family money so that you can make it to college and get degreed and, you know, return and be ambassadors or be very proficient in whatever their skills, but that statistic of so few of them ever make it into Americans' home.
Makes you think.
Yeah, it was convicting. And then I started thinking, as I've been doing ESL for a couple of years, it's so easy. It's just really befriending them and being enthusiastic and helping them along. And they're so hungry to learn just the simple things. And whether you work on idioms or vocabulary or tough words or just befriend them, they're so receptive. And so I found it very easy because you sit down and they're hungry to learn. And you can, like what you've done, you pull out a map and you say, okay, we're going to take you from the bank to City Hall, and then to the park, and they learn right from left, you know, turn right, we're going to go uptown, Now, what does uptown mean? And so you just work on very basics, and it's very simple. And Herb and Marge are great examples,
yeah.
Part of our class. They had no training, but they were caring people. They loved internationals, and so they've been coming on a regular basis. But you might offer in the fall or summertime,
yeah.
Some training. What would that look like for somebody saying, you know, I know English and I have a heart for internationals? What would they learn, or what would they expect if they came, say we had a couple evening sessions or morning sessions?
Well, I think I would want to encourage anyone to come that had any inclination toward reaching the international population, and some basic teaching techniques that are helpful so that we don't... Sometimes we structure language class in the way that we think is the easiest, but the words that we use are not necessarily... What we think is easy is not necessarily the easiest terminology for an international student.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, surprisingly, some more complicated words are often easier than our kind of slanged down, I used to do this, that sorts of things. Little...
That makes sense.
Little things that we make easier, it's not easier. So we'll hit some things like that, maybe a little bit of grammar, just a little bit of teaching technique and overall encouragement.
Yeah, I'm thinking of an example. Now, Dave Crabio, who recently had a heart attack, I don't know if you know Dave Crabio. He and Ruth have been involved with the internationals for many, many years. But
right.
He always gave an example, and I love to share this, where he was trying to instruct an international on how to drive, and he was outside the car. And somebody, I think maybe Ruth or somebody else, was assisting this international. But he was standing outside the car, and he was waving. He said, go ahead, back up. Go ahead, back up.
That's great.
And they didn't know what to do because, go ahead, back up. What am I supposed to do? Do I go ahead or do
back
I back up?
Up?
But,
right.
You know, we would obviously get that. And there's many of those simple things that we would say that you would just take for granted. So somebody, and I'll probably announce this in the coming days when we have a specific date, but you would encourage anyone who has a heart for internationals, come to these classes, because then they could maybe learn some techniques or tips, or maybe see how simple it is to reach out to an international.
I think so. And as we focus here largely on very basic, we've got the two levels. The people who don't know English at all, they are starting really at a very low beginner spot. So they need everything. But even at the more intermediate level that I've been working with, taking time to keep it focused on conversation, give them something new to talk about and help them form better descriptors for what they're trying to say. I think in the low classes, they probably need a script.
Right.
The higher class, we need to let them free flow and then just correct it, model it, help it out.
Now, you had said earlier part of your journey was, you know, you were praying up, Lord, I want to teach.
Well, I didn't even know I wanted to.
Yeah. And then you wanted to lead or assist in worship and mentor and do some teaching. Now, was this something early on that you were praying about, like when you came to know the Lord, Lord, I want to be a teacher or a future mentor, or I want to be a worship leader, or was that a progression in some of your faith journey?
I mean, I had been part of music ministry since I was a child. My mom played the church organ, and I helped her out at times. I did the guitar playing at the Teens Encounter Christ prayer meetings and stuff when I was older, when I actually came to the Lord. Because I had church involvement without knowing the Lord for the first 14, 15 years of my life. So they all incorporate back to my childhood, but I didn't really know that that would be the direction that, like, either my vocation, a vocation, would take me. But it became very clear after that time of prayer. It became very, very clear. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get from here to there. I still wasn't credentialed properly. I just didn't see really how it was going to happen. But it's like, I'm not going to worry about it. The Lord dropped it in me. I'm not going to try and make it happen, but I'll just be watching. And if opportunities arise, I'll take them.
Now, when did he drop in that born-again Catholic believer Jim into your life? How did that all merge together?
Oh, we were so young. I was about 18. I had been a Christian since I was about 15. And through the Catholic Charismatic group. And they had an active group in town. And there was also a Catholic seminary in town for Franciscan priests. And at this facility, they would have a Teens Encounter Christ weekend, which was a Catholic retreat. But it was pretty close to born-again stuff. But, I mean, they don't use that terminology in the Catholic Church exactly. But it was sort of like that. And then I was involved in the prayer group that followed that. It was a bunch of teens that would get together, and we'd have basically a prayer meeting. And I would play guitar at it. And he had gone to a tech with a friend and came to this after meeting. And I was there playing guitar. He thought that was great. And I remember seeing him thinking he was cute, but it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know about him.
Yes.
But then, you know, he seemed kind of interested. And it's like, if he's interested in me, that's one plus, you know.
Yeah.
But what I saw in him was he was really dedicated to the things of God, even from that point, because he had just become a believer. It seemed more profound than, like, yeah, I like doing this stuff. It's my social group. Or, yeah, it's good for now, but maybe not later. So that was a real draw to me, that he seemed like his commitment to the Lord was super strong. Yeah, and that was very attractive.
Yeah, I think when we interviewed Jim a month or so back, he said when he came into this room and saw this cute blonde playing the guitar, and he had always wished that he could lead worship, but that wasn't his gift. But he said you shared a few verses, and he thought, this woman knows everything about the Bible.
Oh.
And he said it was like one of the only verses you were sharing at the time, but he was so convinced that you were just filled with the Lord that he wanted to get to know you more.
You know, I became a Christian, and I thought, well, I'm going to start reading the Bible. Well, that got too hard. So I started reading through Matthew, and this was before I even knew what a concordance was. I tried to start developing my own concordance because I just didn't have any resource like that. So I had gotten through about the first 13 or 14 chapters of Matthew, and I knew them pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it, though.
Yeah, he was impressed. He shared that and talked about, you know, your dating and then just, you know, falling in love. And
you had him from the get-go, Rosie.
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. Who would know? Well, now 40 years removed. You said something interesting early on to our listeners, not to just be complacent in where they're at, that the Lord, like even you said, your progression of doing what you're doing came a lot later. And so sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm in their 60s, I'm in the 70s, how would the Lord use me? And you're saying, no, persevere. If God puts something on your heart or you have a dream, work towards that. Because I think you're also a life coach. You do that in your spare time, which there's not much spare time with grandkids and children and traveling and volunteering and other work that you're doing. But I like that point where you said, don't give up on a dream or don't give up on an impression maybe the Lord's put on your heart, even though it may take time.
It may. You know, most of my life coaching things I've done have been online. So it's not a local thing, which is kind of convenient since I'm not local very well. But, yeah, it's like many people my age were caught in that generation where there are voices saying you need to stay home with your children, and the other voices saying you need a career. And it's like I really wanted to be there for my kids. But that meant, because of the way we were set up, we were making the financial choice to go with less. We were making all kinds of choices to do that. But when they were well in school and on their way, it was my time to go back. And even now, as I was winding down with the career aspect of English as second language, yeah, I thought it was curious that, you know, I was invited to come over here. And I was like, well, I've only got these few weeks, but then it turns out these are the very few weeks that you all needed. And so we'll see if that develops into more. Meanwhile, about a year ago, I just felt compelled to take a life coaching seminar course program, and I worked through it when I was down in Texas, and it's like, you know, I don't know where this is going. I'm not quite sure what it's going to do, but I put together a book now. I've got plans for developing a certification program. I've, you know, it's like all kinds of things are in my head. So it's like the Lord's going to bring that about, and I don't know exactly the timing on it, but I think within the year I'll have something more in place than what I've got now. And what I see, a niche thing going with the life coaching, because for many years I was a prayer counselor for the Koinonia Network, which is it's another online thing. And we had kind of a, not a formula, but maybe a scaffolding of prayer that we would go through with people who would call in or would write in. And I think those are essential because life coaching isn't counseling. It's not going back in the past and digging it all out. But there is an aspect of prayer counseling that can go that way for a time. But we can start to make changes now for the future. And so that's what, with our words, with our actions, with where we put our mind, that besides actively going for a particular thing, it's like we can just start to turn this ship. And we just need to be guided by the Holy Spirit.
I'm thinking of a verse that Jim has often shared, that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought, making it obedience to Christ. And kind of what I'm hearing you also say is be very conscientious of the things that the Lord's putting on your heart, or the things that maybe the world's trying to put up against you or batter against you, and not take that wisdom, but seek out the Lord's leading and direction.
We've got so many words of Scripture without like a particular rhema word that would light on our own mind just for us in that moment. I mean, I believe it's Psalm 102. It starts out, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all my benefits. I forgive all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with loving compassion, who satisfies my life with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. It's amazing. If I just say that over and over, man, the Lord's got so much good for you and for me.
That's great.
Marianne, how about closing out our time in prayer for those that are going to work, those that are struggling with an issue, those that are maybe depressed or feeling like, Lord, in these senior years of my life, is there really something that I can do to make a difference?
Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit and your love and your grace would just fall upon our listeners, everybody listening to this broadcast as it's aired or later in the archives, that your Holy Spirit would fall, and that the words that have been said would be filled, and that you would use them far beyond anything that we have known to say here, that you would use those words. Lord, I do want to pray that it's very inspiring to me, Lord, what Rosie said, that, you know, later in life, she didn't even have her bachelor's or this or that, and she just decided to start walking on the road that she thought you were calling her to, and it's being such a blessing right now. And Lord, I pray that you would give that very same grace to people right now listening who think it just might be too late, and you'd give them the word, it is not too late. We pray it in the precious name of our Yeshua Jesus. Amen.
And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Rosie. Thank you, Marianne, for being available for today, the Tuesday edition.
Thank you,
Mark
Rosie.
And friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.